Welcome to Managing Uncertainty, a podcast series from the experts at BrightPath discussing global risk, business continuity, and crisis management. Will you be ready to lead your organization through its critical moment?
Harvey Weinstein, Al Franken, Bill O'Reilly, Minnesota State Senator Dan Schoen, Roger Ailes, and Minnesota State Representative Tony Cornish. What do these six men have in common?
Well, I've seen them all in the news recently.
You've seen them all in the news recently because they've been credibly accused of sexual harassment and, in a couple of these cases, assault.
And I think information is still coming out about different cases and different people involved.
Apparently, there'll be a Senate ethics investigation on Al Franken. There's going to be a Senate ethics investigation in the Minnesota Senate, it appears, for Dan Schoen. There's an outside law firm looking at Representative Tony Cornish's activities. And Harvey Weinstein, of course, has been ousted from his company and is taking up residence in the UK, I believe, hiding.
Yeah.
His brother has also been fired from the Weinstein company or whatever the name of their firm is. And then Bill O'Reilly allegedly paid millions of dollars in settlements and Fox News fired him. And Roger Ailes made a multi-million dollar settlement with Minnesota native Gretchen Carlson over sexual harassment that he conducted with her over apparently quite a long period of time.
Right. And I venture to guess this isn't the end.
Probably not. And we're recording this episode, I think, for context, the week of Thanksgiving, although it's not going to be out for a couple of weeks. So these situations have probably evolved significantly by the time you listen to this.
And there's probably more.
But we're not here to talk about the news necessarily and the facts of these cases. What we want to talk about is this rising risk to organizations that one of their employees or executives or talent have been engaged in this kind of behavior and the company becomes aware of it and will have to deal with it.
Right. And I don't even know that I would call it a rising risk, or it's just now being so much more highlighted as a risk.
You know? I think the reputational risk is what we're trying to get at, right?
Yes.
The reputational risk has increased in terms of its likelihood and impact because there is so much attention being paid to this particular issue. I think often because it simply hasn't been dealt with at many companies.
Yes, I agree.
Right? And so now it's coming out about many of these individuals. And in almost every case, we've heard that they've been engaged in this behavior for a long period of time, and it's never been dealt with.
With multiple individuals
involved. So let's talk a little bit about, I don't know if prevention is the right term to use, but there are some basic things that we believe companies should have in place in order to at least start a base of how to prevent and deal with these kind of situations.
On a reputational basis.
Right. So where do we start? We start with a policy. And Jen, what should the policy be?
So the policy should clearly define what is not allowed in your organization. Mm-hmm. So it should include sexual harassment specifically. Mm-hmm. And it should be very clear as to what is allowed and what is not allowed. What's appropriate behavior and what's not appropriate behavior. To try to prevent some of that gray area that we keep hearing about.
So we want a policy, an employment policy put into place that prohibits sexual harassment at a minimum in accordance with what state and federal law says. And we're not attorneys, so talk to your employment attorney about this. But companies can also prohibit behavior beyond what the state or federal law requires, and often that's appropriate given the workplace. Once the policy is in place, individuals at the company should go through training.
Yes.
Now, there's no indication from what we've been reading in articles published over the last couple of days here that training in policies and workshops do anything necessarily to stop this from happening. But it feels to us like it has to be a minimum expectation that you're setting a policy, you're training people to that policy, to appropriate management, peer-to-peer work relationships.
You have to start somewhere.
Yep.
And I think additionally, you have to have a means of reporting, right? So you have to make it a comfortable position for people to report and include that in the training.
Agreed.
So much like many of the other topics we talk about with, you know, threats of workplace violence, there has to be a way for people to communicate and report.
And that reporting should go to an independent body within the organization. So a lot of companies will contract this out to a anonymous reporting mechanism where a consulting firm, a call center, where you can disclose who you are if you wish, or you can just report anonymously. And then those reports go to a body inside the organization that's going to deal with this in an appropriate, legal, and mature manner, not to someone who's going to then go use this to find out who reported on them.
Right. And I think herein lies the problem, right? So when it's been reported and maybe there's been an investigation, oftentimes we've seen in organizations where maybe it's not dealt with or not really dealt with appropriately for whatever reason. And so then you start to lose trust in that reporting process.
Yes. And the organization, not just the reporting process.
Right.
But if you've been the victim of this and you reported something and that report went nowhere, I think you're going to lose trust, and you're going to tell people about that unhappy experience that you've suffered this harassment or assault and you've been unable to get any action taken on the issue.
Right. And now reputationally put yourself in the shoes of being maybe a mid-level business or small business, and somebody has this happen and it wasn't managed very well, and this individual then decides to have a voice and say they start talking. Mm-hmm. So like you said, they're going to start talking to people. That reputationally is going to have a huge impact, especially nowadays, on your organization.
Well, and the people are going to believe the accuser because there has been so much cover-up and failure to deal with these issues in these situations in the past. And that's part of why there's so much traction around this issue today. When we talk about setting expectations in the training, we talk about this reporting mechanism, and then there has to be an investigative process that looks at the best interests of the organization and gets to the bottom of what has been going on. Is the allegation credible? Did this behavior occur? And then that behavior needs to be dealt with in line with what the policy says. And I think that most people would believe that there is simply no place for this kind of behavior in the workplace. And we were talking about another podcast that was discussing this over the weekend. There is a spectrum here.
Right,
where,
a threshold, I guess.
Yeah, and I don't know that we know where to draw the line on some of this, but we do know that unwanted sexual advances are not okay in the workplace. That
outside the workplace, too.
Or outside the workplace, yeah. Just to be clear.
Yeah,
you're exactly right.
Or off-property doesn't work here.
No. But in the work environment, there is no place for that. It's a pretty egregious violation. Touching someone is assault. And that's obviously way beyond the pale of what's acceptable in or out of the workplace. Here, of course, we're dealing with not the physical workplace, but we're talking about people who work at the company.
Right.
Because this behavior can happen
anywhere.
After hours. It can happen before work. It can happen on a
work trip and
can
travel.
Happen on a date.
Exactly. Yep. Yes. And I think that's good to point out, because we have a lot of those discussions. We had them a lot working with workplace violence prevention is, mm-hmm. well, that did happen, but it mm-hmm. was off property that happened. So it's not for us to deal with. Well, reputationally.
It is.
It absolutely is.
Right. Yep. When I was, I spent the first 12 years of my career in the actual field security part of our previous employer. And I can't tell you the number of situations I dealt with involving sexual harassment. Of course, HR is, in our organization, HR was the leader for those. But because I was the security leader in the area, I was often involved in the investigative process and conducted interviews or served as a witness or dealt with more senior people directly when they were alleged to have engaged in this behavior. And a lot of stuff happens on work travel because you're away from home. And you feel safe, or the perpetrator feels
Sometimes
safe.
There's alcohol involved.
There might be alcohol involved. Actually, all of them involved alcohol to some extent. But a lot of things happen inappropriately on work travel. So it's definitely a place where clear guidance is needed about appropriate behavior, particularly as a leader, if you're on those kind of trips. Whatever, not a deliberate trip for this purpose, but you're on a work trip and you kind of lead the team through that.
Yes.
We also see, and I've personally witnessed situations where there was egregious behavior, but we liked, well, I say we, people senior to me who were decision makers liked the individual that had been alleged to have done these things, and therefore nothing happened to them or something minor happened to them. And in almost every case, just like we see in the criminal justice world, they recidivated, they did it again. Mm-hmm. And at some point you have to draw the line. they should have drawn the line on the first offense.
Yeah, and not only did they do it again, but maybe their peers now
think it's okay.
Think it's okay. They've right. seen this, and so now they're going to do it or do it later on down the road at some point.
Right. So our advice for companies when it comes to prevention and dealing with the incident is have a policy, train the team to the policy, set clear expectations, live up to those expectations, and hold people accountable when they cross the line. And that accountability may include terminating them and or calling in law enforcement or criminal justice officials to deal with criminal behavior, assault, and worse that goes yep. on.
And if necessary, bring in, and like you said, bring in an outside party like law enforcement, or yep. maybe it's somebody else to conduct the investigation right. to help to build the trust in that organization, both with the employees or students or mm-hmm. whoever is in the organization, as well as the public mm-hmm. and the public's view of that organization.
When it comes to your senior executives, if one of them is accused of this kind of behavior, it's not at all unusual to bring in outside counsel to conduct the investigation. You gain that outside impartiality that goes along with this, but you also gain a shield of legal privilege around the investigation. Although I'll tell you, if you're a publicly traded company, you're in a really bad spot because you probably are going to want to, at some point, disclose the results of that investigation, even if it's just a summary of what has gone on. And you can look at recent situations involving Uber as a good example of this, where,
that's right.
you know, Uber clearly had a cultural issue where this kind of harassment was okay because they didn't deal with it. And they tilted the table in favor of people that were committing this kind of egregious acts.
In the public's view,
because they were talented and they wanted to retain them, or because they had never been accused of this before, which of course turned out to be BS.
Yeah, never is.
But Uber went to an outside firm and then shared most of the outside firm's investigation publicly, which I thought was a good example of transparency. That's an extreme example of what can happen, but some of the folks that listen to this could happen if
it's not dealt with at the lowest level.
Exactly.
If it's never dealt with, that culture continues to grow.
Right.
And so that is ultimately what can happen.
Right. So we talk about this all in the aspect of, we see this as an increasing risk for companies because of the prevalence of stories and accusations and issues that are coming up. This is definitely something that we think a company of any size needs to put some thought into how to respond, and what would they do, and what would their messaging look like, and how would they deal with it. But I also think it serves as a warning that these kind of reputational issues, you know, 6 months ago, no one would have thought that this was going to be the big issue that it is today. That said, it should be the big issue that it is today. But companies didn't predict this coming at them. And it's good to start to plan and make sure that you have this risk in mind as you approach the next 4 or 5 months.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Managing Uncertainty, produced by the experts at BrightPath. To receive notifications of new episodes, join our newsletter at brightpath.com or subscribe to your favorite podcast player, such as iTunes or Google Play. Learn more about the services and trusted advice from BrightPath by visiting brightpath.com. That's BrightPath.com.